just stand and sing that. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the cross, Lord. And thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came, and you gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. And thank you for the nail-pierced hands, washed me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne. We crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. Darling of heaven, crucified. Oh, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Just sing that again. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came, and you gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord.
Thank you for this love, Lord.
And thank you for the nail pierced hands. You washed me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Seated on the throne.
We crown
you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. Oh, high and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven, crucified. Oh, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are high, high and lifted up. Well, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven, crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
Just give the Lord a round of applause. If he's worthy, praise him today like he's worthy, saints.
Lord, we give you praise, Lord. Come in expectation, Father.
Praise your holy name. Glory to your name. Amen. Just sing that little song, We Want More of You.
Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire.
Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire. Give us your desires. Hold us close to you. Holy Spirit, give us revelation, your healing visitation. Nothing else will do, 'cause we want more and more and more and more of you. We are weary of this, what we want. We are weary of living this life just for us. Oh, forgive us all for seeking your hand and not your face. Come and empty us, Father, we are desperate in this place. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire.
Hallelujah, Lord. Yes, Lord. Give us your desires.
Hold us close. Revelation, your healing visitation, nothing else will do. We want more and more and more and more of you.
You have given us.
You have given us so much more than we deserve.
Hallelujah.
Us by the power of your word. So God, we lift you up, giving you the honor that is yours. And thank you for your love. This is what we are living for.
Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire and give us your desire.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Oh, Holy Spirit, just give us revelation, your healing visitation. Nothing else will do, 'cause we want more and more and more and more of you.
Oh, the love.
And oh, the love that covers us. Oh, the Savior's mercy. Oh, the blood that makes us spotless white. Oh, the love that covers us. Oh, the Savior's mercy. Oh, the blood that makes us spotless white. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire. Give us your desires. Hold us close to you. Holy Spirit, give us revelation, your healing visitation. Nothing else will do. We want more and more and more and more of you.
One more time.
Oh, Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire and give us your desires. Hold us close to you. Holy Spirit, give us revelation, your healing visitation. Nothing else will do. We want more.
that your desire today? Amen. Amen. Fill us till we want no more. Amen. Amen.
We just have one prayer request. Amen. Just a reminder that we do have a second service today at 3:30 with communion. I also remember the Brown family there that he passed on to be with the Lord this morning sometime earlier, but keep his family in prayer. Amen. Just know it's a hard time for the family, but he's rejoicing on the other side. Amen. Amen. Just thanks for this time. If you come lead us in a word of prayer, also the tithes and the offering.
Brothers home, Lord, last night, Lord Jesus, Lord, and Father, Lord, we rejoice with them right now, God, Lord, he's in his new body, God, Lord, and fellowshipping around with the old time saints there, God, that have come before, Lord Jesus, Lord, and Lord Jesus, Lord, if you should tarry, God, Lord, we'll join that band also, Lord,
yes.
Lord, we believe, Lord, we're called to make a rapture, God, Lord, not seeing death, God, Lord, and Lord Jesus, we just pray for more anointing, Lord, on these vessels,
yes,
God, Lord Jesus, Lord, that we'll pray harder, God, Lord. We'll study more, God. We'll listen to more sermons, Lord Jesus, God, Lord. We'll be faithful more to the church, God. And Lord Jesus, Lord, we just ask for a double portion of your Spirit, God, Lord, of the Holy Ghost, God,
yes, Lord.
Lord, that'll change us, God, Lord, that'll get all of our characters just right in line, God, Lord, ready for this exodus, Lord, God. We just love you, Lord. Lord, bless every saint that pushed their way out, God, Lord. And Lord Jesus, Lord, may you just be welcome in this place, God,
yes,
Lord. We're just a humble little group,
thank
God.
You,
but we love you with all of our hearts, God, Lord. We just love you so much, Lord. We thank you for everything, Lord. Bless the tithes and offerings, Lord. And we just love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Just singing a little song. Welcome, Holy Spirit. We are in your presence. We just want to welcome our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, here. We just want him to have his way in this service. Amen. And sing with all your heart if you want to welcome him here. Amen.
Welcome, Holy Spirit. We are in your presence. Oh, fill us with your power and live inside of me. Welcome, Holy Spirit. We are in your presence. Just fill us with your power and live inside of me. Inside of me. fill us with your power and live inside of me.
Amen. Is that your desire? Amen. And you may be seated. Amen. We ask our Brother Sonny to do a song special, so he's going to come. Maybe his wife too.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Appreciate the fellowship this weekend. People rearranging their schedules for us, dropping in like this. Good to see my pastor here. I got to talk for a minute. I'm so nervous I get in front of people. And I can sit around a dinner table, you know, and talk my tongue out. And it doesn't bother me, but I get in front of people. And my back starts spasming on me, and I just want to fall over. So... I just want to thank the Lord for all that he's done for me in my life. And this song we're going to sing, its chorus is over and over again and again, God is faithful. Over and over again and again, through it all, he's made me able. So, you know, it's all him. I stood on the bank, wide raging river, trusting I'd get across. And I made my way through some valleys and deserts, believing I'd never get lost. I've been at the foot of what felt like Mount Everest, knowing I'd have the strength for the climb. Through every trial, each test and temptation, there's one thing it's sure every time. Over and over, again and again, God is faithful. Over and over, again and again, through it all, he's made me able to stand and survive, to come through alive when it sure looked like I couldn't win. But Jesus is with me, so I claim the victory. Over and over again. Now you ask me why, I have no hesitation. God does what he says he will do. And I'd simply say every battle has taught me there's nothing he won't help me through. Why should I dwell on the hardships and the struggles when I look just beyond them? I see the way this will end is with great celebration, and deep in my heart I believe that over and over again and again, God is faithful. Over and over, again and again, through it all, he's made me able to stand and survive, to come through alive when it sure looked like I couldn't win. But Jesus is with me, so I claim the victory over and over again. mind by singing that one, brother? La Fontaine sang this one. It's one of my favorite songs. This is one that was on my heart. The other one I wanted to sing, so.
I'll be there when you have fallen and you have no strength to stand. When trials overtake you and you need a helping hand. Oh, when sickness has you bound and you feel your pain's too great. Just lean on me, I'll comfort you. You can be sure I'm not too late. And you've got my word on it. Every verse, every line. Hold fast to the promises and everything will work out fine. No matter what your pain or hurt in life, I will be there to bear your strife. You've got my word on it, my word divine. Now there's a promise of a rapture. You see, I've got it all arranged. The Holy Ghost is gonna lead you to that body change. So for now, just hold on strong. I'll be with you all the way. Rest assured, it won't be long till you see the glorious day. And you've got my word on it, every verse, every line. Hold fast to the promises and everything will work out fine. No matter what your pain or hurt in life, I will be there to bear your stripes, for you've got my word on it, my word divine. Now there's a promise of a rapture, so I'm counting on it. See, I've got it all arranged. The Holy Ghost is gonna lead you to that body change. So for now, just hold on strong. I'll be with you all the way. Rest assured, it won't be long till you see the glorious day. And you've got my word on it, every verse, every line. Hold fast to the promises and everything will work out fine. No matter what your pain or hurt in life, I will be there, I'll bear your strife. You've got my word on it, my word divine. You're standing on a word that never fails. I'll lead you through the stormy gales. You've got my word on it, my word divine.
Give the Lord a big round of applause, amen. Worthy Lord. Thankful for God's word, amen.
Let's just sing that little song, Through the Fire, amen. I'm glad that God holds you on through the storms wherever he leads you.
So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. Oh, and many times in trials, the weakness blurs my vision, and my frustration gets so out of hand. Oh, it's
never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. And as I look at all the victories, the Spirit rises up in me. And it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. Whoa, He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, nor the hill would not be hard to climb. No, He never offered our victories without fighting, but He said help would always come in time. So just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again. I know within myself that I would surely perish. But if I trust the mighty hand of God, He'll shield the flame again. Again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, nor the hill would not be hard to climb. Oh, He never offered our victories without fighting, but He said help would always come in time. Just remember. So just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and that adversary says give in. Just hold on, and our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again. Just hold on, our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again.
Amen. How many are glad for that today? Amen. He's always faithful. Amen. Amen. Just sing a little song, I'm Not Giving Up. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Is there past prayers to come? Amen.
Well, I'm not giving up, giving up. I'm not turning round, turning round. By the grace of my God, I'm gonna wear a shining crown someday. And I'll keep holding on, holding on to those nail-scarred hands. I'm not giving up, no, I'll keep going on.
When walking,
when walking through the valley and through this veil of tears, at times I've even questioned, even if my Lord was near. Then at times that old tempter, he says, why not turn around? You can't get any farther because you're just losing ground. But then I say, I'm not giving up, giving up. I'm not turning round, turning round. By the grace of my God, I'm gonna wear a shining crown someday. And I'll keep holding on, holding on to those nail-scarred hands. I'm not giving up, no, I'll keep holding on. Oh, He just won't let God's children be. He has purpose and determined, oh, to get right in the way and take us from the way of life and lead our souls astray. But I'm not giving up, giving up. I'm not turning.
Amen. God worthy of your praise today. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You may have your seats for a moment here. It is good to be in the house of God today. Amen. How many serve a living God today? Has He proven yourself over and over? Amen. By the grace of God, for the home church here, you know I've been on a little vacation here. So by the grace of God, we have Brother Jesse speaking this morning. For the visitors, God bless you. It's good to have you in the house of God today. Amen. And it's also just a wonderful privilege to see my Aunt Rosie here today. That is, it makes me want to sing. just to glorify God. I don't know, you know, a lot of times, you know, the song leaders and so forth, they pray and they seek God's will that they could sing every song just the way it needs to get sung, right? And we see what the Lord was even bringing through the worship this morning. It was basically hold fast that God is going to take you through it. Amen. He's going to see you through it. You just stay right with that word of God. Amen. But anyway, maybe I'll sing a song. We don't mean to hold you too long. We do have two services today. It is always a pleasure to have Brother Jesse here, and we always get fed well. Amen. It's good to have the Bradys here, Sister Wendy. Amen. And then the home assembly. It's good to see Sister Cindy this morning. Praise the Lord. And by the grace of God, we'll just try to sing a song. I'll tell you what, I woke up and I didn't feel well today, and I said, I'm coming to the house of God. I'm not letting that devil get a victory on me. Amen. And I'm feeling better. Amen. You know, a lot of times we just got to let that anointing, Lord, just sweep over my soul. Amen. I'm going to sing a song, and by the grace of God, then we'll get Brother Jesse right out here. And we don't want to prolong the word. Appreciate all the song specials today as well. Amen. I'm going to sing that song. Just feel like singing this. I pray it's all right. You know me. I need to extend my song list. So by the grace of God, sometimes we just sing a song. And I pray this will be a blessing to you this morning. I'm going to sing My Jesus, I Love You. And I'll try to find the right key here. My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine, and for Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou, and if ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Hallelujah. Amen. I love Thee because Thou hast first love me and purchase
my pardon on Calvary's tree.
Can you say today that if there ever was a time you loved Jesus, it's right now.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? More and more. So by the grace of God, we'll just invite everyone to stand just for a minute here. And we do have Brother Jesse this morning. Was my pastor, by the grace of God, for 2 wonderful years of my life. And I've seen God do a lot through that ministry. I've seen God heal. I've seen God drop an anointing. I've seen the power of God manifest. I've seen the Word opened up in new ways I've never seen it. So I pray that God will allow us to just move into the Word this morning and enjoy what the Spirit would say to us. Amen? So by the grace of God, let's just sing, only believe all things are possible. As we invite our brother. Sing, Jesus is here. Jesus, I know you're here, Lord. You promised to be here. Oh, Jesus is here, and all things are possible, because Jesus is here. Jesus is here. We know Jesus.
possible, Jesus is here. Praise God. Let's worship the Lord. We love you, Jesus. If you're here, all things are possible, Lord. We love you. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for shedding your blood. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for raising for our justification. We love you. We worship you this morning. We live for you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Cleanse our hearts. Minister to us today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's going to be in the house of the Lord this morning. God bless you. May you take your Bibles this morning. We'll get right into the Word of God. It's good to be here. We appreciate Brother Cam inviting us to come minister. And we sure enjoyed our time when Brother Cam was with us. And we've always enjoyed his ministry. It's been a tremendous blessing to us. And Brother Simon's really blessed our services and our church quite a bit, so we've enjoyed his ministry and just been a wonderful, I guess, a brotherly combination, kind of. You know, Lord can use me to minister, and Lord can use Simon and Cam, and so we're just thankful. All because of the prayers of our mother and grandparents, and all because of their prayers. I just want to greet everybody in Jesus' name. I forgot to tell the church that I was going to send their greetings to you, so forgive me, but I'm sure they send their greetings to you. They love everybody here, and it's good to be here. Praise the Lord. Let's take our Bibles this morning, and I'd like to go to Genesis chapter 5 this morning by the grace of the Lord. Genesis 5:19, we'd like to open up there. I'd like to, this morning I'd like to preach on a little message called The Humble Life of Enoch. I don't believe I've ever preached that here. I asked Cam, and Cam didn't remember if I ever preached it here. So I'd like to do that by the grace of the Lord. So if you got your Bibles, Genesis 5:19. The Humble Life of Enoch. I'll get into a little slideshow in a little bit. I got a few slides I'd like to share in just a moment here by God's grace. But how many are happy to be a Christian this morning? Amen. Praise God. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. If you have a need on your heart, just make it known unto the Lord. Surely he's here, and we just want to get to the channel of the Holy Spirit this morning. His healing channel, perhaps. His saving channel. His channel to fill with the Holy Ghost. His channel to operate maybe through a prophecy or tongue or interpretation or something along those lines. And we're open to whatever the Holy Spirit would like to do this morning. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads in reverence to you. We sang all things are possible. We sang Jesus is here, and we believe that. We're only believing the Word of God this morning. Lord, let us cast aside any thoughts, anything that would hinder the move of the Holy Spirit. Let us, Lord, forgive us, Lord, of any sin, any doubt, any frustration, Lord, any evil we've done to others. Forgive us. Help us to forgive others if others have wronged us, Lord God. Help us to have a pure heart this morning. For, Lord, a broken and contrite heart thou wilt not despise. That's the sacrifice that you desire, Lord God. So we love you so much this morning. We ask you to speak to us through thy word. And just take this service in the direction you'd have it to go. We're honored to be here, Lord, amongst your children, Lord God. But the greatest honor we have is when you come, dear God. When your spirit drops here, Lord, and we're just, we count it a privilege, Lord, when your holy presence comes among us. We can never get used to it. It's a sacred, sweet presence, Lord God, and we just ask that it would be amongst us this morning. In Jesus Christ's name. And the church said, Amen. God bless you to be in seated there. I just want to send greetings to my Aunt Rosie. Praise the Lord. It's so good to see you. Let's give her a round of applause. Praise God. Do you have any other family members here or just Aunt Rose? Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. What a blessing to have her and got to see her yesterday. I just want to quickly go through this. You know, this morning I woke up with such a burden on my heart, you know. And I woke up at 5:40 this morning to try to prepare. So, Brother Dustin, whenever you're ready, switch that over, buddy. It should be ready to go. I just want to just share a few things about my testimony. I thought, you know, because my aunt and cousin said they might come this morning, and I was just praying, and I thought, you know, I might share a few things about my testimony by God's grace. And I just couldn't get away from it this morning, so just give me a few minutes. You know, I usually preach an hour and a half at home, so if I do like a half-hour testimony and then an hour preaching, that's about normal for me. I shouldn't run out of gas, Lord willing. I don't want to keep you too long. I know we have two services, but we just step into eternity when the Word of God is preached. You know, we certainly enjoy that. I know there's a hook around here somewhere. There it is. Okay. We got our hook on the outside, you know. But here's the biggest hook I've ever seen right here. This is the most important hook right here. I got hooked on this in 1999. And I haven't turned back by God's grace. Hallelujah. So, you know, we just want to just share my testimony. You know, I thought with my aunt being here, I'd like to just share my testimony. And the young people, you know, if they haven't heard my testimony, I'd like to share a few things. I'm going to share it at home. This is the condensed version because I just had a few hours to start on it this morning. I'd like to just share what the Lord's done in our lives, you know. So in 1980, I was born to Snooky and Ruby Smith, and I'm very thankful for both my parents. I had such a wonderful childhood, you know. Of course, I had Simon and all my older brothers teaching me how to just be a boy, you know, and play, and always, never alone, because I always had them with me and was so grateful, you know. And my dad, I remember my dad would play with us, you know, and all the time. He would play outside. We'd play all kinds of sports and just be together. And he taught me how to play baseball and everything like that. And the boys did. We rode bikes and just... And, my favorite time was going swimming with my dad. I don't know if you remember that, but he would do the launch. You know, he'd go 1, 2, 3, and he'd just throw us as high in the air as we could go. And just had a really wonderful childhood. You know, we were poor, but I didn't even notice, really, till I got older. You know, and all the other kids had Reebok pumps, and I just had, you know, these old Walmart, whatever. It didn't really matter to me. I just loved the Lord. I just loved my family, you know. I knew I wanted to serve God when I was younger, but I just never gave over to the Lord. But I was so thankful for all the prayers of my mom, and I know my dad prayed for me too, but my mom's the one that drug us to church, you know, because we were, you know, five boys and one girl dragging us all to church as we grew up, and she was faithful with it, and I just trust God has a crown for her, you know, for just dragging us to church. And now, when we were younger, we probably went a little more willingly, but as we got older, you know, we didn't like church because... You know, the temptations of the world and trying to fit in, you know, and things like that. But I've never been ashamed of my parents. I've always been so grateful for how I was raised. I could not have been treated any better. I just felt like they always treated me with respect and love and just so thankful for them. So that was in 1980. I just fast forward to 1988. My mother was healed of cancer. And I'll never forget that. We drove to the hospital, Fulton County Hospital, same hospital over there, to see her. With my grandma and dad, because she was in the hospital, and I just thought, you know, she was going to die. They gave her 6 months to live. And, you know, I didn't know all this till later. Here's a picture of me when I was about that age. And there's Simon and Cam. There's your pastor back there. Cam's kind of hiding back there in the background. Isn't that how he always is? He's always in the background, you know? Just real humble. I appreciate that. Never out front, you know, just always real humble in the background. Betsy's there, and... That's not Paul. That's little Rafe. Paul hadn't come on the scene yet, you know. God was saving him for another time and season, you know. But that's about the age I was. I remember driving to the hospital and seeing my mom, you know, with that robe on and just thinking she was going to die. And my mom told me that one person from her church came in one morning and said, you know, the Lord told me this morning a scripture from Psalms 119. I don't have it right before me, but... David said, I will not die, but I will live and declare the works of the Lord. And the Lord told me, Ruby, you're going to be healed. And my mom said, praise the Lord, I receive it. You know, I guess she's cried. But they scheduled, after that, they scheduled a little time for my mother to have a surgery to try to take out some of the cancer out of her liver, I believe. And the night before, I talked to my dad later, he said he felt such a strong desire. He went over while my mom was sleeping in the hospital, laid his hands on the cancer, the area where the cancer was, and he said, "I condemn that cancer in the name of Jesus Christ." And my dad said he felt a warm presence on his hand. And from the story, my mom said she woke up the next day, they took her into surgery, cut her open, tried to take out some of the cancer, and it was all gone. And my dad said after that, when she come home, she would skip and dance out to the mailbox at Grandma Smith's. Now, that's like a quarter mile, maybe. God had just done a miracle. And so, had God not done that, my dad would have had six children and no mother to take care of all of us. And so, from the time I was 8 years old, I could never deny that God was a supernatural, miracle-working God. You can't deny that. And no one that ever knows us, they'll have to answer on the day of judgment if they don't receive Christ, because Christ has manifested that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. In our family and in our church and in amongst our loved ones. If they refuse the life-changing power of Jesus Christ, they'll have to answer for it, because He's never changed. God is the same. And so that was 1998. Around 89 or 1990, my cousin Matt Demoline saved me from drowning. I was trying to swim across the pond at my grandma's house. And I was trying to be the big boy, you know. I was going to be like Simon and Cam and Sam. I'm going to swim across that pond. You watch this. And I got about halfway, and my brothers were swimming next to me. And I just had my mouth open, and all this water went in my mouth. And I was going down. And I remember looking up, like, you know, just right above the water, thinking, it's over. It's over. And they were all swimming ahead of me. And all of a sudden, Matt told me last night, he said he was up on the shore because he made it first. He was the biggest, you know, he's still the biggest. Big boy, you know that he is. He said he saw me going down. He thought, oh, Jesse's joking. And then all of a sudden, something in him, he said he just jumped back in the pond. And I remember him just pulling me up out of the water like a dolphin would bring up a child or something like that. And I remember coming up, and I'll never forget that he saved my life there. So I was saved from drowning shortly after my mother was saved from cancer. So God had to save our lives. Hasn't He saved our lives? And thank God for that. So I told Matt last night, if there's anything I can ever do to help you, you know I'll do it. As long as it's scriptural, I'll do it. If there's anything I can do, since you saved my life, if there's anything I can do for you, I'd be happy to do it. What a wonderful thing that was. In 1992, though, I learned my greatest lesson. My dad taught me the greatest lesson I ever learned in my life. That's a Jose Canseco baseball card up there. I used to collect baseball cards. I was a sports fanatic. You know, that's just what I was into. We were poor. That was our entertainment. You know, we just did sports. And one time my dad took my cards and he said, Jesse, he said, let me look at that card. He said, okay. I said, all right, Dad. And he said, you know, he handed it back and he said, Jesse, did you know Jose Canseco hit 20 home runs in 1988? Do you know his wife is brunette? And he likes trucks and station wagons. And I said, huh. I said, Dad, no, in 1988, he hit 42 home runs. He was the first one in the 40-40 club. And Dad, his wife is blonde. And he likes sports cars, Dad. He drives fast sports cars. I thought, this is really odd. What's my dad talking about? And he said, now, Jesse, he said, I couldn't deceive you about Jose Canseco, could I? And I said, no. He said, why couldn't I deceive you about Jose Canseco? I said, well, because I study him. I like him. And he said, that's the way you need to be with Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, don't let any man deceive you. Now, I was like 12 years old. I'm like, oh, thanks, Dad. You know, I went back to my trading cards. Hey, you want to trade this one and trade that one? But I never forgot that. That was the greatest lesson I ever learned in my life. Jesus said, let no man deceive you. And so if we get to know this word greater and greater, the more we get to know Christ, the more we know we won't be deceived by the enemy. Amen. To know Christ is to know life, for He is the way, the truth, and the life. So I know, you know, sometimes, you know, my dad had a hard life because he was named Snooky and people made fun of him. And one time I told my dad, you know, I said, you know, Dad, it's true. You know, you've had a hard life because a lot of people made fun of you because your name, and that's really sad they did that. I said, but I only know one more person who had a harder life and a worse name than you, and that was Jesus. Amen. He had the dirtiest name in all of Nazarene, didn't he? He was born in Nazareth. And all the people made fun of him and said, oh, your mom was a whoremonger and you were born outside of, your mom cheated on Joseph while she was pregnant or while they were engaged and all these things like that. Is that true? No one had a worse name than Jesus. So I just, I spoke that to my dad and I just hope it anchored somewhere there in his soul, No one had it worse than Jesus. No one. And no one took more punishment than Christ. You might have been abused when you were a child. Some of us were abused or something like that. But no one was ever more perfect than Jesus, and no one was more abused than Jesus Christ was. So in every trial in our lives, in every struggle, we can look to Jesus for healing. So in 1997, I got a ticket to Akron. Now I'm going to just share this video. In 1997, because there's young people here, I thought it might be helpful. In 1997, I do a Bible club at the school. We were playing in, that's from Massillon, Ohio. We're playing in the state championship game. And, I'm 5'11", 155 pounds there. I just make a little catch in the state championship game. The next one, I catch a touchdown. I'm 17 years old, Now, I'm not serving God, but I want you to look at the end of this play here. I catch a touchdown in the state championship game. I was so humbled, I get on a knee, and I wasn't even saved yet. But because my mom prayed for me, I knew that I need to give God thanks. And that showed that there was something inside of me that God placed in there. So, and there was coaches at that game from the University of Akron, and they saw me play. And they started talking to my football coach, high school coach, and they were... And they said, this guy's pretty fast. What kind of guy is he? Good in school? And from then they started recruiting me. And then I got a full ride scholarship to Akron. So that's when I earned the ticket to Akron there, by God's grace, through sports. Now, let me just move on. Now, in 1998, I met the love of my life. There's my wife and I. She was 15 and I was 17. That's when we met, my love of my life. We met in a sandbox, we always say, because we long jumped together in high school track, and she's been a real blessing to me. Praise God. We met there at the beginning of my senior year, we called it dating, but I didn't know dating was not good. The Bible says we're supposed to court, but we didn't know that because, we weren't in the message. We didn't know the truth of the word. In 1999, though, I went to college, and that's when I became a Christian. My mom dropped me off in August of 1999 in Akron. I got the full scholarship and there to play football. And they do a physical right when you get there, and they scan me over, and I had a fracture in my fifth lumbar vertebrae. And so they put me in a back brace, and I can't even run or do nothing for 5 months. And I thought I was going to get there and, take over, I didn't take over nothing. But Jesus started taking over my life. And because I was sidelined that first whole season, I was sidelined, the local ministry there at Campus Focus, they started reaching out to me and doing Bible studies with me. And I was all alone. I got dropped off in Akron. I didn't know anybody really personally. I just knew a few of the coaches. And I'm all by myself in a city of about 200,000 people. And that's when God started getting a hold of my life. I ran from God all those years, but that's when God got a hold of my life. It was during this time, I would come home on the weekends. Now, that's a picture of just a few weeks ago with your pastor, but I put that picture over there, Brother Cam. I would come home on the weekends, and Cam would let me borrow his car and drive to see Kristen, And a little white, what was that little white car? Le Mans. And Cam taught me how to drive stick and everything like that. And Cam had just started serving the Lord. And I would just jump in the car. He's like, Cam, can I borrow your car? He's like, yeah, Jesse, okay, because... You know how little brothers are. They mooch off you. But I'm sure he was nicer than that. I'm just kind of dramatizing it. But that's how I feel when I borrow things. I feel like I was mooching off of people. But I'm sure Cam was very, very kind to me. But anyways, I would, in such a hurry, I would just drive. And Cam's CDs would be in there. And he had an FFH CD. And, they sing about Jesus. They're not our style. But I'm glad it was in there because I started listening. I was in such a hurry. I would just listen to Cam's Christian music. And I started tapping my foot, like, praise God. I wasn't even a Christian, but I started liking it. And Cam didn't even know it. And I said, Cam, can I borrow this CD? And that's when you could take the MP3s and kind of just, pirate them, It wasn't good, but we were just young. We didn't quite understand that. Now I buy all my songs, though. I don't steal them anymore. And I hope you don't either. But it was through Cam's influence. When I saw Cam change, I was like, oh my goodness, I need to start looking at my life. And so it was in December of 99, I went to an Athletes in Action conference. And I was there, and I saw Tim Anderson, a football player from Ohio State. I saw him, he's 6'6", redhead guy. I don't know if you ever saw him. They won this national championship in 2002. He was in the front row raising his hands like this, and I'm in the back row. And I got so convicted seeing that 6'6" guy raise his hands, and I was ashamed to do it. And I said, from that moment on, God, forgive me. I'm serving you. I'm giving my life to you. Jesus, forgive me. Come into my heart. You know, and I didn't know. I didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost, but we did the invitation prayer, you know. But I gave my life to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I came home after that. I started taking out all my dirty pictures off the walls. I threw away my music, my Snoop Dogg, my country music, my Metallica. I threw it all away in that trash can outside of our dorm building. And I stopped going to the parties at college. I was sold out. And I loved the ministry. You know, they had a little church ministry there on campus, and I loved it. I was getting into it, but it wasn't feeding me enough. So I got into John Piper. He's kind of like a deeper Baptist, you know. So I went from a Presbyterian to a deeper Baptist, you know, and I was always wanting more and more of the Word. And I just could not get enough of the Word. And there were so many times I read my Bible, and I just couldn't quite understand it. And then in 2001, on Thanksgiving night, now here's what I looked like. This is when the message came to me. Now, what we call the message is the message that God sent through his prophet, William Branham, of the revelation of the Bible today. So that's what we call the message. It's what the Word really means today. It's what God is doing today. And God always sent it through prophets. John the Baptist, Moses. God's always sent a prophet to bring the message of the day. And so that's what I looked like when Simon came to me. Except my hair was a little bit longer. So I kind of look like that. You can see the Apache in me there. Can't you see the Apache? I was told my grandpa come from the Apache tribe, you know, so a little bit of Apache in there. But I just want to thank the Lord for Simon. So Cam was the first one I saw with a changed heart and, like the Bible says, a new heart and a new spirit. But I think he and I would both say, when we were listening to FFH, we probably didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. You know, and doing some of the things we did. But Cam was the first one I saw with a new heart. I thought, my, I want to be like him, you know. And, but Simon brought the message to me. And there's Simon. That was a few months ago, too. You know, that was about a year ago. And look how weary Simon was preaching two services for us, working all week, you know, 40, 50 hours, 60 hours a week, and then coming working, preaching for us twice on Sunday. Like Cam did, too, you know. But Simon had the courage to just say, Jesse, you got to sit down with me and listen to this message called Serpent Seed. And it's the message of how in the Garden of Eden, Eve did not eat an apple. What she had was she had a sexual relationship with the serpent. And then because of that, God said, you have a seed. He said, I'm going to put hatred between the serpent's seed and Eve's seed. And that's what happened. That's how you had Cain. And the Bible said Cain was of the wicked one. So Cain was not of Adam. Cain was of the serpent. Because the serpent was a different form than we see the serpents today. God just changes. So as soon as I saw that, I thought, I've never heard a sermon like this. This is powerful. Now, I struggled with it for a few months. But in 2002, that was my hour of Bible training. During this time, I learned that the Bible never said for a man to have long hair, except for Samson. Right? And a Nazarite vow. But in the New Testament, no man was supposed to have long hair. So I cut my hair off. Because the Bible says it's a shame for men to have long hair, so I cut my hair. And then Chris and I were still courting, and then she read in the Bible where the Bible said women are not supposed to cut their hair in the New Testament. So my wife stopped cutting her hair. It was just whatever was in here, we believed it. And Simon would just show me these things, you know. Oh, we're supposed to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, wonderful, you know. The Bible said put no wicked thing before your eyes. I stopped going to movies. I don't go to movies anymore because it's putting wickedness before your eyes, and that's breaking the commandments. Amen. And the Bible said Lot was vexed or tormented or made weaker by the things he saw and heard. So whenever you leave a dirty movie, you're weaker spiritually. You're not stronger. Amen. It's impossible. Because the eyes and ears are the gate to the soul. Amen. So it's impossible. But this whole year of 2002, it was the year God was dealing with me about all kinds of things. I still had certain addictions. I'd look at dirty things on the internet and smoke, and I still couldn't get rid of smoking or chewing tobacco. But it was an hour of Bible training. I know my life was changed. And so I thank God for that. And God started dealing with me. Now, 2003 was the real hour of deliverance for me. That's the last time I cussed was 2003. That was the last time I took any tobacco was 2003. That's the last time I watched a dirty movie was 2003. That's the last time I watched a football game was 2003. Because I knew I had to follow Jesus. He said, you got to forsake everything and follow me. I knew I couldn't be a real servant of God if I had those things hanging on in my life. I used to give all my Sundays to watching one game, one football game, then the next. What a waste of time. And I haven't done that. I haven't given a whole day to watching nonsense since then. So see, what I'm saying is that's the hour of deliverance. How many believe in His delivering power? God is my witness. That's the last time I had certain addictions, personal things I can't share with you. All of that was taken away in 2003. Now, I still fall short in little areas, but these major things were taken away. I've been washing the blood, church. And we all can be washing the blood. But that was the hour of deliverance. And then later, in June, I married the love of my life, you know? And that was when I was married in June of 2000. And Cam was nice enough to let me be married on his birthday. He never got upset, you know? Never. Sam never got upset with me, so... It was the only day I could get married, so I always feel bad about that. But that was when Brother Brooks married us there by the grace of the Lord. And in 2004, I was ordained to preach the gospel. There's my ordination. That was in August of 2004, I was ordained. And I never knew I'd be a preacher. Cam, did you ever feel like you'd be a pastor? Did you ever feel like that? Yeah, it never crossed either of our minds. Simon, do you ever feel like you'd be a preacher? Yeah, it never crossed my mind. I always had a feeling like I wanted to serve God, but I never thought I'd be a preacher. But as soon as I heard the message that Simon shared with me, and I look up there, these men preaching the message, something inside of me said, you need to be up there. I just couldn't get away. I never told that to anybody. I never told anybody. But as soon as I heard the message, I knew I had to be up there. Something like drawing me up there. And I've had numerous people, like Samuel Browning's wife, Kim, told my wife that, she said, as soon as I saw you walk in the message church the first time in 2002, she said, I knew you'd be a preacher. I thought, huh, that's kind of odd. I look in the mirror, I just see some ugly guy that, you know, doesn't know much, not very smart, you know, but she said, I knew you'd be a preacher. I thought, wow, that's really something. Anyways, you know, going back to that day I got married, it was the day after our wedding night, you know, I just had to go to church, you know, and I kind of feel bad for my wife, you know, I drug her to church right afterwards, but that was the day I got the Holy Ghost. I was just praying, and all of a sudden I had a vision in my mind. Brother Brooks was preached on the blood, and I saw Christ crucified on the side. I had the side view of him. Before that, I saw the nails pounding in his hands, and I saw them raise him up, and I just wept, and I thanked the Lord, and I just shouted and praised the Lord. And I walked out of that service, and what I said is, I said this, I remember saying it out loud, I just love everybody so much, I've never experienced this love. I just said, I'm in love with everybody. And that's when the love of God really came into my heart. It was the day after I got married. So see, God knew I had to get through that trial. That temptation, you know, all those things, I had to get over that, then I could be born again. So I'm thankful for that. Now, 2004, Lydia comes on the scene, and then I've had four more children come on the scene. I got another one coming on the scene in a few months if the Lord tarries. We'll have six children. Five girls, one boy, opposite of my parents, you know, five boys, one girl. So I just thank the Lord for that. In 2006, I was called to pastor. And that's been a great thing to me. Now, this has been the greatest blessing and the greatest trial of my life as far as growth. Because we started out and people were getting saved all the time. We were starting out. Seven people or eight people got saved right away. And I just thought that was going to continue to forever. Now, when it stopped, I got a bad attitude. And I preached it last time about the complexes. I just got a complex. I got upset with the people. I was just critical all the time. And God had to show me that you got to go through seasons. I had to learn patience. And that was a complex. And then I had to go back and confess to the church and say, I'm sorry, I was so rough with you. But now, ever since I've done that, God's been restoring and saving souls and blessing the home church there. And it was hard, though. It was hard. It's hard to see your faults, you know. But the closer you get to the light, you know, the more dirty you look, right? So just thank God for that. And God's done great things, you know, changing my life. And, you know, in 2000, you know, we've gone to South America four times. Cam and I have gone once together. And just seen the power of God. I've never seen people cry at the altar more than when Cam preached in Guyana. They had just painted the altar red. And after Cam preached, remember that, Brother Cam? Twice it happened. The young people pounded and prayed and cried on the altar for like 45 minutes after the service. And they left and got off their knees and they had red paint on their hands and their pants. Because it was just, you know, and Guyana's really hot. It's like 95 degrees there. So the paint didn't dry all the way. But they didn't care. They were on the altar praying and crying out for revival. And it was through that, you know, there's a real apostle. You know, one brother emailed me from Canada. He said, there's no such thing as apostles anymore, and this message is all out of... There's nothing wrong with the message. There's wrong with people that follow it, but there's nothing wrong with the message. The message is Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with the message. But he said, oh, there's no more apostles anymore. And there's one right there. He went into Guyana, the southern part, where that James Jones, was that his name? Jim Jones, thank you, brother. Where he killed all those people. Remember in Guyana he killed all those people? He went there a few months ago, and they started preaching. He said 50 people got saved and were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ just a few months ago. There's still missionary work that needs to be done. There's still real apostles out there. It's a reality. So just go to try to encourage you. This Great Commission's still going on. We need to keep sending people, right? We need to keep praying. You know, we get all comfortable over here because we got everything. We got nice pews and we got all the message, you know. But they don't have that. They're still serving God. We need to stay on fire for the Lord Jesus. And if we see any sin in our life, God help us to get deliverance from that. God help us to get delivered. Okay, and I just want to close with this. In 2014, God proved to me that I was in the perfect will of God. I've been pastoring about 8 years. And I just said a simple prayer, and my wife doesn't remember, but I remember praying it with my wife when we were doing Bible time. And I just prayed a little prayer. I said, Lord, if you could just save somebody by the end of the year through my ministry, if you could just let me know that I'm supposed to be here in Akron, maybe I'll just resign from being a pastor, you know, and I just don't see any fruit to my ministry or anything like that. Now there was, I just wasn't seeing it. Right? You know, I was just critical, you know, I was just struggling. And, I prayed that in June of 2014. Well, in August of 2014, Vang's brother invited some of their friends over to our service. We had a packed out little hole in the wall. I used to call it our hole in the wall there on Waterloo. That was our hole in the wall, right, Sister Wendy? We all jammed in there. Brother Sonny, right? We all jam in there and just try not to rub too hard against other people. But in walked 20 Hmong people. And God is my witness. We had two services. I was worn out. And I sat down at my chair. John was leading songs. And I said, Lord, what am I going to preach to all these people? And the only message I had left, let me think of it. I just forgot about it. I'm against organized religion. All my notes I'd already preached. I thought, I have nothing fresh. You know, Brother Cam could probably understand. Brother Simon, you know. I lay back on my chair. I got 5 minutes till he calls me out. I was so tired. I said, well, Lord, you be with me. I'll preach it. Because I listened to Brother Branham preach it. So I went out there and I just preached. And God is my witness. I just felt the anointing from the beginning all the way to the end. Now the service started really loud. People said amen. And it got quieter and quieter. And I was thinking, what in the world's going on here? Is everything okay? But I learned I can't judge a service by the sound. Amen. I've had to learn that. That's been hard for me. Because, you know, in sports, you hear more noise. Well, everybody's more excited, you know. And usually with God, there's more noise. Usually God's there, but not all the time. And so at the end, and I teared up. I preached against all the sin I knew of. Movies, you know, cussing, drinking, smoking, short skirts, women showing off their chests, men showing off their muscles, pride. I preached against every sin in the book I could. And I said, anybody want to come up for prayer? And he was the first one to come up for prayer. And his name's Amen. So God put an amen to my ministry. I needed it, church. I needed it. I had to have it. And so do you. Don't you need an amen to your life? Don't you want an amen to your ministry? Everybody has to have a ministry. And out of the six people that come up for prayer, he's the only one that stayed. I baptized a few other ones, but they all left. They all fell away. Some of them quit wearing makeup right away, like the Bible says. The Bible says you shouldn't wear makeup, you know. So a couple of the women stopped wearing makeup right away, but then they fell and they got back into it. But, you know, I still pray for them. I still, because, you know, only God knows. You know, only God knows people's hearts. And, you know, some people just can't live all the word, but we want to pray and encourage everybody we can as far as they can serve the Lord. But anyways, that proved to me that I'm in the perfect will of God. And since I've taken that faith, God, I feel like I can just go to the pulpit and Brother Simon, no matter what's on my notes, just like a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night, I barely had time to study because of work and things like that. I just came to the pulpit in faith knowing God was, I just believe God. I'm called to this. This is my commission. This is what I was born for, Brother Steve, to pastor and preach the gospel. And I just took God at His word. God, if you call me, you'll provide. And I preached a little message on Saul and David and how David twice was spared from Saul's, you know, attacks. And how every time he forgave him. And just to show you a simple example. And we had a visitor from another church that night, and I said, let's stand and, you know, just worship the Lord. There wasn't anything, out of the ordinary during the service, you know. Same thing, I'm always preaching and screaming, and, you know, the vein in my forehead's popping out, and I'm saying, praise God, and, you know, just the normal stuff, you know. Probably tripping over things or knocking my hand on the pulpit, you know how it goes. Just doing the best you can to serve the Lord. But this woman stands up afterwards, and she said, Brother Jesse, can I share a testimony? I said, yeah, sister. She said, I've struggled with hatred and with my family for 5 years. And she said, this has been the answer to my prayer for 5 years. This message was ordained for this night. Now, what do you do? What do you do? It's all God, church. We just have to remain faithful, like the brother's saying about being faithful. He will keep His word to us. And then I go in the office, I sit down and say, praise God, oh, I got a few more thoughts. And pretty soon a woman out there starts speaking in an unknown tongue. So I get my phone, and I said, oh, let me record that. You know how you can do voice recordings? And so I record the end of it. I said, praise God, let's pray for the interpretation. Now, we prayed for 10 minutes, and no interpretation came. But it was awesome to me to see that God can still move. And I prayed for gifts to return. And so this family felt led of the Lord to move all the way from Boston to come and be at our church in Akron. So I'm starting to see more of the Lord move. Now, I want to see Him keep moving, so I just got to keep my life pure before the Lord. So I just want to share that God will give an amen to our ministries. Praise the Lord. Well, that's my testimony. So praise the Lord. All right. God bless you. Amen. Just thought I'd share that. So I just wanted my Aunt Rose to hear that, you know, and she always treated us so well. And I just want to share that. I hope that was okay, Aunt Rose. And I love you too, you know, and she's always treated us so well. So, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. You can always look back and see what God has done. So I'd like to just, you know, I'm going to be flipping back from a few things. Let's look at the humble life of Enoch here, if we can. Now, why don't everybody stand up, and let's just have one more word of prayer here. So you're not seating too long. Let's just have a word of prayer, can't we? I just felt led to do that. I had such a wonderful prayer time this morning. I think I filled up about 4 tissues of snot just praying and worshiping the Lord, and I just felt I should give my testimony. So let's just pray. Can we just pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for the testimony in our lives. Lord, and as we see in our church, each person can come up here and share a powerful testimony. Lord, and they often make me cry, Lord, because of how merciful You are, Jesus. Bringing us to the cross, Lord, and showing us Your grace and mercy. We just love it. Lord, may You clean out our lives, Lord. May You just guide us into all truth, dear God. Bring us into, Lord, the position we're supposed to be in. Speak to us, Lord, through the humble scriptures that we're about to look at here. We ask that You be with us in Jesus Christ's name. And the church said, amen. God bless you being seated there. So if you're tired, hopefully that gives you a little energy boost there. So let's look at here the humble life of Enoch today. How am I doing on time? Well, Simon, what time is it? Do you have a watch or a phone there? Somebody give me the time. 11:51? Okay. Okay, so, all right. Brother Cam, I'll try not to go too long here, buddy, so pardon me. So let's, I want to look at, we read this scripture, you know, Enoch was taken by God without death. You remember that from the scripture? And we, you know, in the message of the hour, we love Enoch because he escaped death. He did not have to die. He just went home with the Lord. Now, we know Elijah did that too, and, you know, those are the only two that I know of that did that, didn't have to die, didn't have to taste death, and got raptured. And he was taken by God. Now, here's just if you just take the Bible chronology of their days, of their years. This is the chronology here. So you have Adam, Seth, Enosh, Canaan, Malaleel, Jared, and Enoch. Enoch was the seventh from Adam. Adam was the first, and if you count down, Enoch was the seventh. Praise God. So there's Enoch. Enoch was the seventh. And he was the seventh, and he escaped death. Did he not? So Enoch was the seventh from Adam. And the Bible calls Adam the first Adam because there was a second Adam. Amen. Praise God. So now if you look at Enoch's life, Enoch got to talk with Adam for quite a few years there. And we'll get to that in a little bit. And Enoch was taken away before his dad died. So Enoch saw his dad go, Enoch's dad saw Enoch go off the scene. He said, "My son was raptured. Glory to God. He came out of my loins," you know. He was had some, probably some spiritual happiness about that. Remember Methuselah, Enoch's son, died the year of the flood. He died the very year of the flood, and he was a sign that there would be a flood. So Enoch got to have fellowship with Adam and Seth and all these great patriarchs down through the age. Now I want you to notice here that you know, after Methuselah, Lamech and Noah, they all were up there. They all lived right up until the flood. Now, I don't know what happened to Lamech. I don't know what happened with him. I don't know if he made it through the flood or not. Doesn't seem like it. But Noah did. Praise God. Eight souls, and Lamech's name wasn't in there. But if you look at this, after Enoch goes off the scene, really there's only one or two generations before the flood. It wasn't like many, many generations. It was like the people that were born right in the days of Enoch would live to see the flood. So Enoch, well, we'll get to this, but Enoch was a preacher. And Enoch could say, "The flood's coming too." He could have said that. But see, we think, you know, there's this great big gap, but remember, they lived longer. And so now Enoch is so precious to us because the bride or the New Testament saints who are born of the Holy Ghost will be taken by God to heaven without seeing death. Amen. And let's read that in your Bible. Let's read that. 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15, verse 51. I want you to see it right in your scripture. This is a mystery. This is why churches can't understand. Well, is there a rapture before the tribulation? Is it after? Is there such a thing as a rapture? That's why they make movies on it. They don't know. And a lot of them, and even if they make movies on the right aspect that there will be a rapture before the tribulation, then they got all kinds of sinners going in the rapture. There won't be one sinner going in the rapture. There'll be blood-washed saints. Because you must be born again of the Holy Ghost to go in the rapture. That is the requirement to go in the rapture. The Bible said you must have oil, and oil represents the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said if you've got the Holy Ghost, it'll guide you into all truth. Amen. So you won't just have partial truth of the Bible, you'll have all the truth of the Bible. And that's the evidence you're born again, is that you're in the Word all the way. Hallelujah. All right, verse 51. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." So Paul's saying we'll not all die. "But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Amen. Yeah. Glory. Amen. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Amen. Amen. So thank God, by the grace of God. Now look at this slide here. Now we are in the Laodicean church age according to Revelation chapter 3. There's been seven church ages: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea is the last church age. It's the seventh church age. So the bride of Laodicea, she is the seventh from Christ, the last Adam. Amen. Praise God. So Enoch was the seventh from the first Adam, and the bride of the Laodicean church age is the seventh from the last Adam. Amen. That's why we know if God does the rapture in our lifetime, we'll go. If time goes on, then we'll be changed. We'll have to go to the grave, but our bodies will be raised incorruptible. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why we know. Because this is the last age. And Laodicea is the age of the people's rights. And everybody's got rights. Say, transgender people got rights. Homosexuals got rights. Women that abort their babies got rights. All kinds of rights. But just because humans give them the right doesn't mean God gave them the right. Right? And it's still sin. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. God's Supreme Court said it's sin. Hallelujah. And this is the book that this is the law book he judges out of. Amen. Hallelujah. And they that commit adultery, they that commit fornication, they that commit homosexuality, they that commit murders will not inherit the kingdom of God unless they repent. We've all got to repent of something. So God help us to repent of our sins. Amen. So Enoch lived in this gap, or Enoch's life was right there with the bars. So he got to fellowship with Adam, Seth, Enosh, all these great men, we'd say. Even Lamech knew him. Now, Noah, according to the possible dates here, and I'm just going to give you some possible dates. This is if the dates are right. It's hard to see. I'm sorry to strain your eyes. But Adam was probably about, when Adam died, Enoch was probably about 308 years old. So Enoch could have learned a lot from Adam, 300 years worth of stuff, of revelation. Oh, my. He could have told him about the Garden of Eden, and he could say, my, that's the first Adam right there. Let me just get some wisdom. Let me just draw from you. And he didn't know real soon that he was going to be in the presence of the last Adam real soon too. Oh, the spirit of the last Adam. Oh my. Hallelujah. He's going to be in his presence mighty soon. Also, Enoch would have lived about 57 years after Adam died. So he had about 57 years to chew on those revelations and preach them to the people. Oh my. And then Noah was probably born about 69 or 70 years after Enoch's rapture, because Noah was 600 when the flood began. And Enoch finished the pyramid at least about 670 years before the flood, because that's if he finished it the same year he was translated. Okay, so that will give you some possible dates of different events in the life of Enoch. Do you like that? Do you appreciate that? It kind of helps you understand kind of the age they were living in and the influences that they had. Now remember, now listen, there wasn't a big group of people hovering around Adam saying, oh, Adam, feed us the word. Right? There wasn't a great big church around Noah. Because remember, only eight of them got saved. So with every move, the revival starts big and slowly dwindles smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. So as time went on and people kept living longer, the Bible said their minds were only filled with wicked thoughts all the time. And the earth was filled with violence. And then sons of God saw the daughters of men. They saw women that weren't really believers and started marrying them because they were just beautiful. And that's what sons of God do today. They marry a woman just on her outward appearance instead of her character. But a real man marries upon character. Christ-like character. Amen. So women, be like Christ. Men, choose like Christ. Amen. And live like Christ, man. Be a real man. Amen. But sisters got to live that way if they expect to have a godly husband like that. Is that right? Now, Enoch means dedicated. Right? And let me be honest. When I first started hearing sermons on how dedicated Enoch was, I felt like about this big. And I thought, I'm never going to make the rapture. Because I'm not dedicated enough. Right? That was the mind balance I had. Yeah, you understand what I'm feeling. Because people would preach in such a way that he never sinned. Sister Hannah, Brother Dave, they'd preach it like that. He was so dedicated, he never sinned. I tried that for a while. I tried to record every minute I prayed and every chapter I read. I tried that for a few years. But by the end of it, I was just worn out. I'm like, I just can't do this anymore. And I found out I was trying to work my way there. Because based upon the numbers, I could never get enough. I could never achieve what I wanted. But as soon as I stopped doing that, God started blessing and people started getting healed and saved. And I just had to let go of my human effort. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. I still need to pray more. I still need to read my Bible more. But when I stopped focused on my human efforts and just relied on grace and mercy and love, then I saw God move and it vindicated to me that I'm not supposed to be overly concerned. I'm supposed to be concerned. We're supposed to be diligent, but we can't be to the spot where we're trying to earn it and we bring guilt upon ourselves, even when we're forgiven and all these things. We need the balance of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, let me see what this looks like. I want to go to my notes now, and I know these are really small. Oh, mercy. Okay, bear with me. I'm going to unplug this for a few minutes. I'll get back to it. Okay? I don't want you staring up at that small font like that. I'm probably making people in our church, sometimes I don't put big enough font up there, I'm probably making their eye doctor bills go up because they got to go get their eyes checked, and my pastor puts up real tiny text up there, you know. So I'll reimburse you, church, my home church. If you need glasses, I'll reimburse you, because that's probably my fault. And I apologize for that. But, no, I'm just joking, but they do bear with me, because sometimes I don't put the right font size up there. But Brother M says this in Hebrews chapter 1, 1957. That line of Seth, it come down a humble, righteous man, on down through Enoch, on down to Noah, to the end of the antediluvian destruction. Brother Ram said, look at that humble and meek seed line. There is your resurrection again. In 1958, handwriting on the wall, Brother Ram says this, look, the world went all modern for a while after the birth of Cain and Abel and so forth. The great church is built. They had a little remnant out of Seth's people, shepherds, peasants, Enoch, Noah.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Amen. So when Enoch is born, all the world's going modern and worldly. And less people are serving God. Now, Enoch didn't have a baby till he's 65. So Enoch was born and he was raised like Seth. He was raised like Adam. He was born there to work and to have a farm and be a shepherd.
Amen.
Praise God. He was in the humble line while they were building cities and arts and metals and all these things. While they were doing these great things, Enoch was out with the sheep, just shepherding the sheep like every good prophet should. Out there like Moses and David and all those men of God out there shepherding the sheep. That was his beginning. So can you imagine Enoch being a humble little shepherd out there? Where's Enoch, Dad? Oh, he's out there. You know, he's just shepherding out there. He was nobody special. He was this little, humble man out there. Brother Bam says this in 1960. Hearing, recognizing, acting on the word of God. In the days of Noah, in them days, look at the church nature. What were they? Scientists, builders, smart men. But the elected, Enoch and Noah, were shepherds and farmers. Humble, not educated, not smart, but know their God. Something in them, moving them, calling them. We'll get to that after a bit.
Amen.
Praise God. Enoch started his life in a very humble way, we'd say. Praise the Lord. He wasn't in the science rooms. He wasn't in the university. He was out on the farm.
Amen.
Down on the farm.
Right.
And yet God saw, so God had a calling for his life. Praise the Lord. How many believe that by God's grace?
Yes.
He had such a calling in his life. It was a humble life. Brother Branham said, emphasizes the humility in his life. He wasn't this great person. He was just a humble person. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, I want you to go in your Bible to Jude chapter 1. Let's read out of here a little bit. Jude chapter 1. Now, I'm sorry, let's go to Hebrews 11 first and then we'll go. Hebrews 11, 5. You love the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Praise God. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of him that diligently seek him. Now look at verse 7. By faith, Noah. So look, Enoch and Noah both had one thing that helped them manifest their calling in their life. What was that one thing they had that helped them manifest what God called them to do?
Faith.
Let's say it together. Faith. Faith is a substance. It's a literal substance in your spirit. Praise God. And if you're born again, it's in your soul. Faith is a substance. It's an assurance. It's a conviction. It's a belief that God is real and that you will follow Him all the days of your life. Amen. Noah is not called to be Enoch. Enoch was not called to be Noah. They could only be what God called them to be. But they both needed faith. Amen. Amen. They both needed that conviction to manifest what God has called them to be. What I'm saying is that you cannot be something you're not called to be. You must be what God has called you to be. Don't try to force your way into anything. We're looking at the home church. David never one time killed one person to be king. It was always everybody else around him wanting to kill Saul and all these other, you know, Joab and Abner. They were all killing everybody else. And David's like, why are you killing these people? I know I'm supposed to be king, but why are you doing this? And he'd weep and mourn over all them. Why? Because David was a type of Christ. And even when people slandered David, even when his father-in-law was chasing him for 8 years, day and night, trying to kill him, he could still look at him and say, you are precious, father-in-law. You are swifter than an eagle. You are more powerful than a lion. See, because he was like Christ, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. We need love like that in our church. Amen. In our church, here in Napoleon, in Lima, we need love like that in every church. Hallelujah. Even if somebody would kill you if they could, you'd still love them. Amen. The Bible said David looked at it and said he was a precious soul. And he's trying to kill me? He's thrown a spear at me twice and all, just maybe nicked a few of my hairs, maybe, or whatever, my cloak. And he's precious? Yes, he's precious. See, now you know you're being like Christ if you can even love those that hate you. Now you know you're becoming a pretty good man, the stature of every man. You're going to be a pretty good man, Brother Branham says. When you can love those who don't love you. Praise God. Look what Brother Bam says. He says, faith is substance. We've got to get in such a place till we be translated like Enoch. Faith, testimony that it pleased God. So you've got to have the same kind of faith that you believe and know that you're going to go in the rapture. Amen. Brother Bam said this in Go Awake Jesus, 1963. He said, I certainly would like to see someone to do it. You know, I sure wouldn't want to stand in his way if somebody's doing it. I pray for that kind of faith because that's the kind of faith we're going to have. We who are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord shall be changed in a moment, twink of an eye. That's our heart's desire. So Brother Branham prayed for faith like Enoch. Amen. How many of you pray for that? Amen. Lord, let me be raptured, Lord. Let my faith raise. Amen. He prayed for that kind of faith. He says, we find Jesus walked as the Father guided him and directed him. He said, I always do that which pleases the Father. Would that not thrill the heart of his church to have that testimony? There would be a translation like Enoch's time. It'll have to be that near his coming. So Brother Adam said, we've got to have faith like Enoch's to be raptured. He said, it's the faith of Jesus to only do that which pleases the Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But it must be motivated by love, not like law, like I was trying to do it for a while. It must be the motivation of love. Amen. Right? Amen. What operates faith? Love does. Amen. Love worketh faith. And if faith brings you to a rapture, then we better have a lot of love for Jesus. Because that's what we're going to need. Rapture and faith. We need love to obey the commandments. And the Bible said it's not grievous. It's not a burden to keep the commands of God. Because whosoever's born again overcomes the world. Amen. It's in you to overcome the world. Because that seed of God is born in you. Hallelujah. Amen. And it has to be that way. Before the rapture. Now that's where I would squirm in my seat and I'd be like, oh, how could I ever be like Enoch? Now on the outside, I was like this. I'm a pastor, you know. Amen, brother. But inside, I'm like, I'm not dedicated enough, Brother Dave. Oh my, I can't be dedicated like that. But as I was studying Enoch, the Lord brought this quote to me. 1955, glorify Jesus. Brother Branham's preaching about when Jesus went to preach to the spirits in prison. Jesus was preaching to the people that were lost. And he said, you are of the days of Enoch, but I am he that Enoch had a spiritual revelation of. He said, why didn't you accept Enoch's message under the burnt offering? And Simon, it's like the Bible cover just came off when I read that. Are you serious? Jesus was down there preaching and he said that. Why didn't you accept Enoch's message under burnt offering? And so I started going back on the timeline. And yeah, that's exactly right. The covenant Enoch was under was not the Abrahamic covenant. It was under the Adam covenant.
Amen.
Which was the same covenant Job was under.
Amen. Good.
And Job said, I know my children will be saved. Why? Glory!
Yeah.
How do I know my children will be saved? Because I've offered a bloody sacrifice for them. That's all I have is blood. I know I prayed for them. I know I placed it in God's hands. I know I sacrificed for them. And I know God will honor that bloody sacrifice. Amen. Glory. And it's like the Bible lid flew off the cover. I thought, oh my goodness. And then the scripture came to me. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Enoch fell short of the glory of God.
Amen.
Now, Enoch was not this untouchable, dedicated guy up there, Brother Steve, that I couldn't touch. Now he comes down. And he's a little bit lower. He's a little bit higher than me still. But he wasn't this all exalted, perfect human. Oh, I don't have time to talk to you, Brother Freddie. I got to go pray. I got to pray up. Now, if you got the wrong spirit, you should pray up before you talk to Brother Freddie. That's right. But Enoch was not an isolationist that never spent time out there. He was a shepherd.
Yeah.
In our verses, he was a father.
Yeah.
He was a godly husband.
Amen.
So I'll say it like this. He was a dedicated farmer, a dedicated shepherd. He was a dedicated father.
Yeah.
He was a dedicated husband. Yeah. All by the blood. Glory.
Yeah.
Of lambs, of animals, animal sacrifice. That's what kept him dedicated. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then the scripture came to me, Brother Cam, and Jesus preaching, and he said, there's not risen a greater man than John the Baptist. I thought, John the Baptist is higher than Enoch? Yeah, those are red letter words. And the church said?
Amen.
Is that true? Some of you laughing at me. What? Did I say something wrong? I got food on my teeth or something like that? I know what you're saying. This is shocking, isn't it?
Yeah.
These scriptures started coming to me. And now Enoch was not this guy way up here that never sinned and was a perfect church member or anything like that. Now, he might have been a good man, no doubt about that. But now he's come down where even John the Baptist is greater because John introduced the Messiah and he got to handle the Messiah and Enoch just preached about him. Hallelujah! Enoch would just say, he's coming, and John the Baptist would say, he's here, amen. And I've handled him, I've touched him, I've baptized him, follow him, see where he sleeps, see where he dwells. Glory! Hallelujah!
Good.
So John the Baptist is now greater. Now, Brother David, I think I might have a chance for this rapture.
Amen.
Before, Sister Ashley, I didn't have a chance. He was so dedicated, and I was just not, there's no way I could do it. I'm not dedicated enough. But now the word starts unwrapping and unraveling who this Enoch man is. Before, he was way up here. In my own eyes, I tried to work my way to be him. I couldn't be him. I failed miserably. And then he comes down a little bit. He's a father too. That means he had to treat his children the right way. God couldn't take him in a rapture if he wasn't a faithful father. Right, church? And then Jesus said, John the Baptist is greater than him. And then I turned, Brother Dave, I turned over to Revelation 5. And I see a voice cry out in heaven, who's worthy to open and loose the seals in heaven or on earth? And Mary didn't walk up and say, I'm the Virgin Mary, I'm worthy. No, the Bible said no one's worthy. And I saw that Enoch did not walk up and say, well, I'm worthy. Look how dedicated I am. Here I am. I've come now. I never died. I was the rapture type. Here I am. I can loose the seven seals. I'm worthy. The Bible said John cried. Even Enoch couldn't do it. Hallelujah. Because Enoch was still a sinner saved by grace. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. So I come to the conclusion that Enoch was just a humble man that was called to the rapture. He was just predestined to it. Yes. Let me say it like this. He was born for it. Glory. Yes. He was born for it. And that's all we are. We were born for this word. We were born to be Christians. We were born to be sincere Bible readers and lovers. Amen. Amen. Born for it. Yes. He couldn't change when he was born. He couldn't do the family he was born into. He couldn't change the plan of God for his life. He just had to live under the blood covenant.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh my. Don't you love that, church? Now let me find a place to close. I don't want to go too late. I feel bad. I didn't. Look at this. This is quite a thing. Jude chapter 1. Let's go to Jude 1. And I got one more quote. We'll just close with that. I know we got communion this evening by God's grace. Hey, everybody enjoying the word this morning? Okay, Jude chapter 1. So now, Brother Simon, I've got a chance to go in the rapture. Brother Cam, I feel like there's a possibility. There's once more, Lord. There's a possibility that rapture in faith can come down on me now. If it came down on Enoch, and he was under the blood of lambs, and I'm under the blood of Jesus Christ, there's got to be a possibility. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Jude 1. All right. Now, got a lot of reading here, but just let me read verse 8. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending about with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but saith the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. These are people that speak evil about the Bible. They speak evil against dignitaries and the Word of God and pastors and preachers and Jesus even. And have greedily ran after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished. And the gang sang of Korah. These are men that are after money. Money hungry preachers. Right? Because the Bible said they greedily ran after the reward of being hired to preach certain things. Cam didn't promise me any money to preach anything. I'm just going to preach whatever the Holy Spirit brings to me. And if you love it, then you're blessed. If you don't, well, I'm sorry. Try to get blessed and repent. That's the best thing to do. You got to get your heart right before God. Because we're just preaching the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Just the Word. Verse 12. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. So these false preachers hang around real preachers and real churches. Clouds they are without water, carried about in winds. Trees whose fruit withers. See, they don't have the real fruit of the Spirit. They act like they got it, but they don't have the real fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
It's not strong fruit. It's not a real fruit. Without fruit, see, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. And Enoch, no, I'm sorry, verse 13, raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. So that's why we know Korah and Balaam went to hell. Because it names their names in here, and the Bible said, the darkness of hell is reserved for them forever.
Right.
And Balaam had a good anointing on him for a while, but he sold out the anointing. So did Judas. Judas had a mighty anointing on him, but he sold it out for money.
Right?
Look at that. Now here we get to our text, verse 14. And, so this is a, isn't and a conjunction? Isn't this continuing the same thought?
Yeah, right.
So we have all these false preachers. This is all things they do. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these.
Amen.
So now we can take a peek into Enoch's ministry.
Amen.
He was just a little farmer for a while, shepherd, and then God called him to be a prophet. I imagine his first vision was probably at 6 months old. For some reason, that sounds pretty good. But man, his first vision was at 6 months old, he remembers. He was a prophet! He prophesied of these! So as the church would get smaller and smaller, Enoch would preach harder and harder against people that ran after greedily the rewards of false doctrine and false preaching. This is what he preached, amen.
Amen.
He preached against people that spoke evil of Adam and Enos and all these believers. He had to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the first Adam, amen.
Amen.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yes, Lord.
Glory. Now here's what he said. Also prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. So Enoch would get in the spirit of some services and say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. He'd say, thus saith the Lord. He'd say, the Lord will come with 10,000 of his saints. And the people would rejoice, but he wasn't done yet. Because everybody wants to be rejoiced that Jesus comes, but they don't like the next scripture, verse 15, Brother Dustin. They don't like this. They think he's coming with all this love and grandfatherly doting love. But that wasn't Enoch's message, all right? Enoch's message was live right, live under the blood. But the Lord, the Messiah is coming to execute judgment upon all. To convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him.
Come on,
praise God.
Right.
So Brother Cam and Simon, we don't have to feel too bad. We got to preach against sin, do we?
Right.
Enoch did.
Amen.
Enoch would prophesy in the service, say, judgment's coming! Judgment's coming! Don't say evil things against the message! Don't say evil things against the Bible! Don't blaspheme the Holy Ghost! Don't blaspheme the Word of God! He said, because the Lord is coming to execute judgment, amen!
Amen.
My goodness. Verse 16. These are murmurers, he says. Now, a murmurer is a complainer who complains against God. I don't know why God allowed this in my life. I'm not talking to God anymore. Oh, mercy. God knows better than we do, church. Don't complain again. Don't murmur against God. Murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. That's what I was doing. Remember movies and all kinds of dirty things and dirty songs and all kinds of sports and overload and all things like this? Lust. Things you lust after instead of really desiring the Word of God.
Amen.
That's right. And their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's purse and admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken of before of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. So there would be people that would separate themselves from the true believers, and the main thing about them, they would be sensual to the lusts of the flesh. And that proves they don't have the Holy Spirit when they give in to all the lusts of the flesh. Praise God. So now you know what Enoch's preaching was kind of like. Well, I hope Pastor Enoch gets in the spirit today. Well, you better be careful what you wish for. I'm sure he'd bring blessings. I'm sure he always point the people back to the blood. But there was times when he'd prophesy and he'd say, this judgment's coming. You must be ready. Get under the blood. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
And in the last few stages of his life, he became an engineer and architect. Who would have thought, Brother Simon, a shepherd would have been taken out of the field and he comes as an architect and builds the greatest architectural, magnificent structure the world has ever seen. Brother Freddie, it stood despite the flood. The heavens and the grounds broke up under the flood, but that pyramid of Giza, that stood the test of even the flood. Because when the enemy comes like in the flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against that enemy. Amen. And he built it right before. So God used a humble shepherd to be the mightiest architect that the world ever seen. And Enoch left that testimony there as the testimony of the stature perfect man. That we can go so high But there's a capping stone that's coming. Oh my! God can take you this high, and then he's going to come and cap off that pyramid. So even Enoch preached a stature perfect man. I'm glad we're preaching at our church. I know Cam preached it here too. I'm glad. That was part of Enoch's testimony. A man said that was one of the second Bible, I believe it was. The stars, the pyramid, and the Holy Bible. So the Bible summed up that we are a pyramid. We must be built up like Christ, and then Christ will come and cap us off. Amen. When we're truly obedient, serving the Lord, he'll come cap and finish our life off with his perfect will. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
But Bam said in 1957, they did not believe the message of Enoch, and they rejected their message and was condemned. The Bible said they were. After Enoch was raptured, we know. A few years later, well, 1,000 years later, the Lord Jesus came on the scene. How many remember that? Praise the Lord. And let me get to this quote. I'm trying to find this quote here. Just a moment. Brother Branham dramatizes this. And he said, I can see Jesus go up to the regions of the lost, to the door. He opened the door, and they begin screaming and wailing, those souls that repented not. And Jesus says, you're the ones of Enoch and Noah's day. And I am he that Enoch had a spiritual revelation of. Oh my. But Bram said he stopped off to preach those souls before he went down to Satan's house. So on his way down, he stopped and opened the door. And instead of babying them, he rebukes them. It said, you should have heard the preaching of Enoch. You should have heard the preaching of Noah. Now, church, what will it be when that day, when people have heard the preaching of Brother Cam, they've heard the preaching of Brother Donnie or Brother Branham or anybody, they've heard it and they turned it down. Look how Jesus stands behind his faithful preachers. Amen. You didn't hear the messengers for your day. He said, I am he that was preached before the antediluvian world. So I'm the one Enoch was preaching about. Glory. Amen. Enoch would take a text and he'd preach on Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The Messiah is coming. He's coming to save. He's also coming to judge. And Enoch had a revelation of him. And then he starts preaching about himself, Brother Manson. He said, I'm the virgin born son of God and I've died at Calvary to redeem the lost. Why didn't you accept Enoch's message under the burnt offering? And the door was closed with a weeping and howling and gnashing of teeth. On down the road, he said, demons, he got to the very door of hell. And Brother Bam said, Jesus condemned every demon on the way down to Satan's house. Oh, I like that. He would go up to, let's say, the demon of depression. Anybody ever battled depression? Jesus would go up to that demon of depression and say, I paid the price for all your torment. Right. These people are guilty of letting you in their lives, but you're the one that tormented. I condemn you with this blood that was shed on Calvary. Amen. I paid the price for all their sins that you convinced them to be depressed and all these things. I condemn you. And you can imagine what happened to those demons. If Satan got kicked in the face and all those things like that, what would those little demons do? In the presence, I imagine they just cowered, screaming, ah! Jesus says, I condemn you.
Amen.
You demon of cancer that have taken so many to the grave, I paid the price. For this torment you put on people, their sins or whatever causes cancer. Now, that's not every case, but in some cases, I condemn you because I paid the price that for all the things you've done for them.
Amen.
I paid the price. All the sins of this person were laid upon me and I paid them and they're not guilty of it anymore. I have paid the price. I condemn you. You have no more power over them. Glory. So I don't care what you're battling today. Depression, lust, he paid the price for your sin. He condemned the lust devil as I condemn you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm buying you back. I purchase deliverance from you with my own blood. Hallelujah. And Brother Man said, God gave us a checkbook and he signed his name in blood at the bottom. All you have to do is write the check, say, I need this, I need that. It goes to the bank of heaven and it was already purchased. God will honor that check because he paid the price. He condemned every demon on the way down. Let's stand to our feet here. Last quotation. Musicians, if you'd like to come here. When we sing that song, thank you for the cross, Lord, that we're singing at the beginning. I love that song. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what demon might be tormenting you, but Jesus paid the price of your sin, right? He bought your deliverance. Satan can't hang this over your head and say, you have to be a slave to this. You have to deal with this the rest of your life. Because Jesus already condemned that. You don't have to suffer through that. Look at this as we close. I love this. The mighty conqueror. Brother Bam says, but God works all things together for good. How many believe that? He had to bring him there. As I said this morning, how would you have confidence in your loved ones ever raising from the dead if we only had Enoch who was translated? Or Elijah, who went home to heaven in a chariot. If we only had them, we'd be miserable. Look what Brother Branham says. If we only had Enoch's testimony and Elijah's, we'd all be miserable. Because they're the only ones that got to escape death. And so we'd be sorrowful for our loved ones. So here Brother Branham exalts Jesus way above Enoch. Because in our minds, we elevate Enoch way up here. And Brother Branham said, if we only had Enoch, we'd have no hope. Because they got to escape death. He said this, but this man Jesus died. Glory. He died until the sun knowed he was dead. He died until the moon and stars knowed he was dead. He died until everything in earth and heaven knew he was dead. That he might die the death of every mortal that ever lived. Because he died is we, because we live. He died. He was mistreated. He came in the world by the way of the barn. No place to lay his head. When he come to the earth. So we'd be miserable if we only had Enoch's testimony. We needed Jesus' resurrection testimony. Because Jesus conquered death. Amen. Enoch just escaped death. But Jesus stared death in the face, took it, and then overcame it. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Christ is the only one worthy of glory. Enoch's not way up there. He's way down here. Now, Brother Simon, I feel like I can look Enoch eye to eye. Say, I'm trusting in the same blood that you were. Except mine is the blood of Christ. You had a natural lamb. That was a figure of the spiritual lamb, Jesus, who is to come. And Enoch, I'd be miserable if I only had your testimony. But because we have Jesus's, I can have confidence that you'll, if I go to the grave, you'll raise me up again. If I don't be raptured, then you'll still have mercy on me. Oh my. If my loved ones die, you'll raise them up. We'd be miserable with just Enoch's, but with Christ, we can have so much joy and confidence. Hallelujah. Let's sing. Thank you for the cross. If anyone desires prayer, you're more than welcome to come now. Let's just worship the Lord. Create a nice atmosphere here. You pay sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Oh, thank you for this love, Lord. For the nail. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb. we're trusting in your blood, Lamb of God. Oh, seated on the throne, bound you now with many crowns, victorious, hallelujah, you're high and lifted up, oh Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven, crucified, worthy is the Lamb. Praise God. Just keep playing that here by God's grace. Let's just bow our heads here by God's grace. I just want to see if anyone needs prayer. Heavenly Father, or I'm sorry, let me just ask the people here. Who would raise their hand and say, Brother Jesse, I'm being tormented and I need some deliverance. Would anybody at all raise their hands? Praise God. Bless those hands. Thank you for your honesty. How many would raise your hand and say, Brother Jesse, I need to live more of the Word of God. I'm not living the Word like I ought to. Well, bless those hands. Let me pray for you. Now, you church, you pray for me. That we'll stay under the blood, which means we confess our sins. And when we learn more of the word, we walk in it and obey it with love in our hearts. Not for legalism, but for love. For faith worketh by love. Let me pray for you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ's name. You saw the hands that felt they're being tormented. Lord God, may they look to you today. Lord, may they not look to any other person in the Bible, but may they look to you. You still sit on the throne. You conquered every death, every demon. You conquered every sickness, everything, every mind battle. You conquered it all. And Lord, may they look to you. May they confess their faults and may they believe for healing in Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah. Deliver your people, Lord. Let it be an hour of deliverance, Lord, for those who really want it. But Lord, let them be willing to walk away from it, Lord. May they trust in the blood that was shed. I'm trusting in the power of the cross to deliver me. Now, Lord, for those, Lord, who raise their hand for a more closer walk through obeying the word, I pray you minister to them now, Lord God. May their sincerity increase, Lord. May their love for you increase. May their dedication increase, but only by the blood. For Lord, we're not exalting Enoch or John the Baptist. We are only looking and exalting Jesus Christ. By your grace, give us a closer walk. By your grace, draw us closer to you. Let us hunger and thirst for righteousness, oh God. Let us hunger and thirst for that. Let your perfect will be our meat, as Jesus said. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for the cross. Oh, thank you for the cross. Pastor.
Pierced hands, wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne. Crucified. is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Oh, worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Seated on the throne, we crown you now with fame. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we reign victorious. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Oh, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Oh, worthy.
Saints.
Worthy, Lord. We give you glory, Lord. Magnify your name, God. Give you glory, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Worthy. You're worthy.
we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our
song. If you need to be dismissed, you can be. Amen. Just sing a song at the cross where love ran red. Amen. Amen. How many are glad for that blood that has made us able to be in that rapture view? Amen.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. And there's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide. Where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. Surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
there's a place where sin and shame are powerless.
Thank you, Lord.
Where all the love I've been and forgiveness.
Where all the love.
Where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. And at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. Surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white. I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus.
One more time, at the cross, at the cross.
At the cross, I surrender my life. I owe all to you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin was white. I owe all to you.
To him, saints, amen. And one more time, as we're dismissed, let's just sing a song, Holy Spirit, amen. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, amen.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, it's what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, it's what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
One more time.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, it's what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
Come fill.
filled this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, it's what our hearts long for, to be yours.